Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's Monday edition of the Chapter by Chapter podcast for Children of Dune. I am your host, Will.
And I am Steve. Welcome to Chapter by Chapter, the show where we go through the Children of Dune one chapter at a time every day. Okay. After your rude interruption there, why don't you tell them all what's going on? Why don't you tell them?
You want me to tell them?
Yeah,
been
of course.
For 37 hours.
37. 37? In a row?
37. In a row.
Well, like, look. We have a contractual agreement that we'll each get so many hours of sleep per night. Okay? My number's a lot lower than yours. But Will needs his 8 hours. Otherwise, we're stuck with this fucking abomination over here.
I've been great. I don't know. We just started the show and you're calling me an abomination. I've been high energy. I've been super nice. It's incredible that I've been lasting this long, but it is weird.
You actually kind of have been better than your usual self.
Maybe I should be doing this more often, actually. It's just completely depriving myself of sleep.
Okay. No. Abomination.
I feel like I owe the listeners an explanation because I can't just drop it.
Nope. It's not sure cool. Can. Let's move on. Chapter 51. Right. Want to know what the answer is, everyone? Cool. He worked all night. Oh, yay. Aren't we glad we found that out? Abomination! Abomination!
I don't know where I am right now.
It's okay. You're home. I saw you on the video.
I'm kind of like tuning in and out of whatever this is. It's very interesting. Like, I don't feel like I'm actually super tired, but you do. And then I was just saying to Steve before we start recording, you're just like out of sync. Like, before I leave a room, I would like accidentally turn a light on. Or like, if I'm about to start the podcast, I'd be like, I gotta fold the blankets real quick. So it's just these weird like idiosyncrasies. Anyway, chapter 51, everybody. We've got a
introduction. Sounds like it might be a medical condition, but
it's ADHD mixed in with sleep depravity.
Yeah, or maybe some sort of stroke.
I keep looking for something to grab around me, and there's nothing interesting.
Get
to
something,
grab.
Man.
I need
get
something.
Like a
I need a fidget. I need a fidget. Do you know those fidget cubes? I need one of those things.
No, you don't need that. That's noisy for the mic. Get like a cucumber and just hold that. It's silent. The mic's not going to pick it up. You can take a bite maybe if you want.
That's not silent. It's mostly, I eat cucumbers? What am I saying?
Abomination!
Abomination. Chapter 51. You want this introduction? You want me to read the introduction? My lips aren't working.
I feel like having you read this is just like letting my friend drunk drive. So no.
Oh, I shouldn't be driving. I haven't had a drop of alcohol, but I shouldn't be driving.
Fremen's speech implies great concision, a precise sense of expression. It is immersed in the illusion of absolutes. Its assumptions are a fertile ground for absolute religions.
Oof. Are you okay?
Furthermore, Fremen are fond of moralizing. They confront the terrifying instability of all things with institutionalized statements. They say, we know there is no summa of all attainable knowledge that is the preserve of God. But whatever men can learn, men can contain. Out of this knife-edged approach to the universe, they carve a fantastic belief in signs and omens and in their own destiny. This is an origin of their Kralizek legend, the war at the end of the universe. Is a Bene Gesserit private report / folio 800881.
You know, I thought I understood what was going on in this introduction until I heard you read it out loud and everything left
me. I mean, same. I haven't read it. I don't know. Contractually, each season, we get a mulligan, and I'm going to use my mulligan right here for that introduction. I'm going to say mulligan, which means we can move on.
Okay, well, we can't because we have something that we talked about on the Friday episode that we have to talk about right now.
Oh, yes. What is
Kralizek?
Now, I believe that I said that it is an Amazon-like service. They said Kralizek is coming on Friday. We were told Kralizek is coming, and I do believe that is a delivery service like Amazon. The orders are arriving today. And Will said, I don't remember what Will said it was. Like a lizard?
I don't remember
Some
either.
Some sort of lizard?
Sure. Well, I said pills, maybe. It sounded like a medication.
You didn't say either of those things.
I know. I edited the episode.
What did you say then? What did you say?
I said pill.
Abomination!
Talk to your doctor about Karolizek. Side effects include worm skin, seeing the future, blue eyes.
And poop.
A huge family tree that you're also kind of married into.
Nah, that's tough. It's probably still worth it, though.
Yeah.
It says only 90% of people get them.
All right. All right. What is Karolizek? Do you want to look it up? Do you want me to look it up?
I thought you already have it. I thought you know.
All right, I do know. I do know.
All right, well, tell us.
It is the Fremen apocalypse.
That's a little darker.
It's not nearly as cool as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. It's cool. So, okay, it's just not like... I'm not happy I didn't get it right. And it's... It's like it's always an apocalypse.
I've got a little blurb here.
All right,
from Wikipedia or the Dune Wiki that gives us a little... like tidbit of what Karolizek is. Hopefully this doesn't like spoil anything in future books. I don't know. I honestly don't know. As far as I'm concerned, God Emperor of Dune doesn't exist in my head right now. Karolizek, also called Arafel, Armageddon, Ragnarok, Azrafel, or the Typhoon Struggle, End Times, or Cloud Darkness, was the long foretold battle at the end of the universe.
Yeah. And, you know, I guess the chapter introduction just told us that. But literally the last line in the intro is, this is an origin of their Karolizek legend, the war at the end of the universe.
I guess it did do that.
But
it did do that.
It's interesting that it's also called Armageddon and Ragnarok because, well, it's just like Ragnarok, you know, has its, like, in, like, legend, in, like, Norse legend and also in, like, Thor. Like Marvel's Thor, it's in there and like shit happens. And like Armageddon, you know, never really happened for us. It was a movie. It's pretty good. But are they like this being the same world way in the future? Is it a play on those same things extended into the future? Are they all one and the same?
I think if you boil it down to its basic like essence, yeah, I think you're right. But I don't think it's necessarily used in the same way that, like, it's not
a literal sense. It's more of just like a doomsday, maybe.
Yeah, so I get the sense here, like, that the Karolizek legend is something that is probably used to control Fremen, which means this is probably something that, you know, Leto uses. Like he instills this belief of Armageddon, of the end times, to keep everybody in line. You know, that's eventually like that's what all Armageddon is about. It's basically just saying if you do bad things, the end of the world is gonna happen.
Yeah.
So you better do good things, but they have to be the good things that I like.
Not always. Sometimes it's like a big like monster demon apocalypse man is gonna show up with his four horsemen of the apocalypse, right? Death. War,
I think,
famine.
I know it sounds weird to say, pestilence. But like I think about like a giant like Daedric creature just floating down from the sky. Like I'm talking like this, like it's the size of a god,
like Galactus,
you know? And like Galactus. And I truly wonder how. Maybe not people in general, but certainly myself. Like, will I just go insane if I see something like that? Just melt?
You would, probably. I feel like you would just jump right into Galactus's mouth.
Whee! Yeah, I wouldn't wait a second.
Oh.
I know what's going to happen.
Oh, okay. All right, then. Well, and then you just woo right into his mouth. Meanwhile, I'll travel to the future with machine guns, and I'll come back when one of my arms will be a machine gun, too. And I'll save the world.
Your power fantasies are a trip, man.
I'm just thinking too much about X-Men, honestly.
I know.
Galactus.
I know.
And
you know
Apocalypse.
What? I caught a clip. I caught a clip of X-Men on like a Instagram reel. Damn, bro.
Don't watch
this. Does look actually pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, you think? I told you it was. Don't watch it in clips. Okay. Watch it in.
I didn't mean to. It just came up. I'm not like going like X-Men 97 clips.
Don't go on Instagram. We're bringing it down from the inside. Tear down that gram.
Chapter 51, everybody. Okay.
Abomination.
So, short chapter here, but what this chapter is doing for us right now is kicking off the last, like,
the final act.
The last section of the book, the last act here, which is kind of fitting because this is the last act of the podcast. We have
that's how it works.
Less than three weeks here.
And I have less than three until weeks we're done. Here because I made a soup last night.
Well, soup. And I think you fixed the leak in your water tank as
oh,
well.
Oh, no. If we're talking that type of leak, I have lots.
You got too many?
The water tank did get fixed, yeah, but there's a lot more now.
Brutal. Brutal. I mean, it happens. So we've got Namri and Gurney. And Namri, look, it becomes clear that Namri probably wasn't working for who he said he was working for.
Yeah, Namri's full of it.
Because kind of was like, yeah, he's.
I think
he's like
got a bit of a brown nose and he's full of lies and he wants to come across a little more important than he actually is. But
it's probably why he was so ready to kill a child. Like at any moment, yeah. He had that knife ready.
Yeah,
Gurney had to hold him back a couple of times.
Well, like, I think
he blinked.
He also knows that child is Leto too, and in killing Leto too, you will gain some level of notoriety. So I think he was ready for his big promotion. Namri's promotion.
Namri, it's clear that he is a bit of a double agent here. He has not been on Team Gurney. He's not been on Team Jessica at all.
He's on Team Namri. Let's be real.
And it turns out that Gurney hasn't been taking orders from Gurney or from Jessica either. It's all been from Aaliyah, apparently. Allegedly.
Allegedly, but I think we've even said this earlier in the season. It's, at least with Gurney.
It's not incredibly surprising.
Nah.
I mean, like, I feel like there's a balancing act here. Like, I feel like part of this was Jessica's doing to have Leto go through this type of training to awaken the spice mind. But another part of this was Aaliyah to take him to put him in danger, put him in risk so that there was opportunities to execute him.
Mm.
But because of the path that Leto is on and the fact that Gurney was kind of involved in the situation as well, made it incredibly difficult for Namri to probably carry out the last of his mission there. Because as far as Aaliyah goes, Leto being gone is like a mission accomplished type situation. You need that to happen, right?
Well, and a lot of them still think that he's
carry
dead
on
too, though, don't they?
Most people, 90% of people.
9 out of 10 people agree. 9 out of 10 Kalizek users agree that Leto 2
dead.
Is dead.
Gurney, unfortunately, feels betrayed, gobsmacked, hoodwinked, and he kills Namri. Kills him.
Don't need him.
And that's it. He's like, you son of a bitch, you lied to me. But I don't think Gurney's left alone. I think he's still at Jakarudo, so there's going to be a crew with him. We're just going to have to see what the next steps are.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And, you know, Namri telling Leto or telling Gurney where Leto, that Leto's safe and that Jessica's in Seleucia Secundus is, like you said, I think setting up that sort of final act to now get Gurney to head to Seleucia Secundus.
Yeah.
Gurney kills him with like a little like hidden sleeve knife. Is that correct?
Yeah. Like Assassin's Creed? I can't tell if there's a knife that pops out of the sleeve like Assassin's Creed or if he's wearing like a blouse with blades at the end of his sleeve.
I hope it's that one.
I hope it's that one too. You know how like Irulan wore Doom Part 2, where like all the like the
yeah, yeah.
There's like a bunch of knives around her head.
Yeah, I like that look.
Just put that up. Yeah, put that around Josh Brolin.
I think it would look better. Who wore it better, right?
It would look better. It's Josh Brolin, bro.
Who wore it better? Brolin, yeah. Every time.
And I mean, like, I don't know. I don't think Gurney would probably, I don't think Gurney would go to Seleucus Secundus. I think he's wise enough to the plots going on to know that Jessica is probably safest at Seleucus Secundus at the moment. Situations change, of course.
Yeah, and things change. And Jessica will probably just...
I would probably put money on Gurney going down to Eric Keen. Go say what's up to his niece, Aaliyah, who is now a... who is now just full Harkonnen now. Full Baron. And she's just doing that. Like, she's just, like, walking down the hallway. And she goes...
That's just breathing.
She's like, everybody's like, what the hell is wrong with her? She's really changed since the breakup with Duncan. Let me tell you. She's not taking it well. All right. That's it. I don't want to spend too much time on this. We have lots of chapters ahead, even though we're near the end. But things are picking up. It's heating up in the sands of Arrakis.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's it for chapter 51. Thank you for listening. And of course, hey, have you ever said, I love listening to these Dune chapters so much. I wish that they did seasons on the Wheel of Time. Well, we did. Like five of them. The Wheel of Time series, they're buried in our feed somewhere. If you weren't around when we did them and you've read that book or are reading that book, go back and listen to those because there's lots. And we will see you back here tomorrow for chapter 52 of The Children of Dune.
Hello, everybody. It is your buddy, old friend, old pal, Will here, back again to thank the three most important people to this show. That's right. I'm talking Big Cheese Daddy, Nikorn, and Hildur. Thank you guys for everything you do. If you, dear listener, are a fan of what Steve and I do, as in all the podcasts and all the screaming and all the kind of like alluded to off mic fighting, then head over to our Patreon. The link is in the description. Pick a tier and get a weekly bonus podcast where you can hear us do the exact same thing over and over and over again. Yes, that's right. We have hundreds of hours of us just arguing, and it's only going to get worse. Thank you again, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.